Ephesians chapter number 5 is where we're going to be this morning. We've been doing a series on the family and on marriage. I'll give you part 3 of that marriage series next week, but I wanted to take a break from that, and I want to talk this morning to the men on Father's Day. And the message is entitled, A Husband's Love. You know, when it comes to the marriage relationship and the husband's responsibility, it could all be summed up in one word. And I want you to look at verse 25, Ephesians 5:25, and see if you can see what that is. Husbands, and then what's the next word? Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What is that one word? Come on, say it again. What is it? Love. Yes, when it comes to the marriage relationship, it could be summed up in one word, and that is love. You say, but Pastor Dan, isn't it natural to love our wives? I mean, why did God command that? Well, folks, listen, as I said before, just because you have a marriage ceremony, and just because you exchange rings, and I feel naked without mine, I had to take, I've wore my ring, I never take it off, but I got a huge spider bite or something on this finger, and it began to swell up. I had that happen one other time, and they had to cut my original wedding band off my finger, so this time I got it off before it swelled up too big. But I just feel naked without my wedding ring on. What's that? Oh, okay. But I have my wife's permission, all right, so... But yeah, you say it. You know, you have a marriage ceremony. You exchange rings. You kiss each other. Say vows. Isn't it natural, lover? Isn't that a natural thing to love your wife? Actually, it's more natural to be self-absorbed, to be self-consumed, and to be self-preoccupied. It's much more natural to get caught up in ourselves than it is to love our wives. And that's why over half of all marriages are ending in divorce. Men, and I'm talking to myself, men tend to naturally suppress and exploit women. Okay, look, you look back through history, and history will attest to the tragic legacy of sin. And that is that men have tended through the years to seek to suppress and exploit women. It does not come natural to love your wife as Christ loved the church. It comes much more natural for us to become self-absorbed and to become consumed with ourselves and to put ourselves first and to put her not first and to take advantage of her. That comes much more natural. But the good news is this. It doesn't have to be that way. Once Jesus Christ enters into your heart and life, He changes everything. And Christ can enable you to love your wife and to experience a right relationship to where both of you are mutually fulfilled and satisfied. If Christ lives in you and Christ lives in her, my friend, you can have a mutually fulfilling and satisfying marriage. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. It is the truth. You know, I know I'm in a crowd this size. I'm talking to people that you're going through severe marriage problems right now. And you fight and cuss and argue with each other. And it's just, it's terrible. And that's so sad, you know. One preacher one time joked, he said that when they play the closing song at the wedding, they ought to play that old hymn, The Fight Is On. Because for a lot of married couples, that's what it's become. The fight is on, you know. We said I do, exchange rings, exchange, but now the fight is on, you know. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way. But listen, you're not going to have a mutually satisfying marriage apart from verse 25. It's not going to happen. Verse 25 is important. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. It all begins with a husband's love, loving her as Christ loved the church. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, stop right there. That's impossible. I can't love her like Jesus. I can't have the depth of love that Christ has had when he went to the cross. No, you can't. But here's what I want to remind you of. As a Christian, Christ lives in you. And Christ wants to love your wife through you. Where it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. That's what God wants to do in our life. Something supernatural. To where, look, it's you. I know that in your flesh you can't love your wife like Christ loved. But you know what? God said this because he knew it was possible for a Christian to allow Christ in you to love your wife. Christ wants to love your wife through you. If a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, then how did Christ love the church? You know, how do we love her? Well, this text is very clear. Number one, we love her with a sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. The key phrase is verse 25. Look at it with me. Here's the key phrase. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and say the rest of it with me, and gave himself for it. He gave what? Himself. Look back at verse 2 of that same chapter. It says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now listen, church, that word given there means to yield up. What his love, Christ's love, led him to do what? To give himself. To give himself. Hey, listen, he did not deserve to die. Christ kept the law. Christ was perfect. Christ kept the law perfectly. He never sinned one time. If anybody did not deserve to die, it was Christ. Amen? So it wasn't a thing where he deserved to die. It was that he chose to die. It was his right to live. Then why would he sacrifice? If it was his right to live, then why would he sacrifice? I want you to look at verse 2 again, and there's two words. There are two words that give you the reason of why he would sacrifice like that for us. Can you figure out what it is? Can you look into your Bible right now and can you figure out what those two words are? Why would Christ sacrifice for us? Look at verse 2, and there are two words. And why Christ would give up his right to live and would sacrifice. Those two words are for us. For us. This was so pleasing to God that the Bible says it was a sweet-smelling savor to God. Christ did not sacrifice for us because we deserve it. Let me say that again. Christ did not sacrifice for us because we deserve it. Sometimes I'll hear men say, well, when my wife straightens up and deserves my love and deserves my sacrifice, then I will. That is so wrong. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't have that attitude towards us? Well, when you straighten up and fly right, I'll love you and sacrifice for you. I'm glad that the Bible says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for me to straighten up before he died for me, before he sacrificed for me. And the same way he loved me is how I'm supposed to love Denise. Men, you're the leader. You are to set the pace. You're not just to react to her and her actions. Sometimes, guys, what we do, we become reactionary. We just react to her. We react to her actions. You're not to be this guy that's always going around reacting to everything in the house. You're to be the pace setter. You're the one that's to take the lead. God didn't say, love your wife because she deserves it. God said, love her as Christ loved the church. In your handout, it says that God never defines love as an emotion or feeling. God never defines love that way. as an emotion, a feeling. Well, I feel like loving her today. No. Now, let me just say this before I give you that next point. Here's what the world says, and this is what you see on TV, movies, and this is what you hear at work, this is what you hear from your buddies, okay? The world says, when that feeling is gone, your love is over. So walk away. Walk away. Man, when that feeling's gone, when that fire in there is gone, it's over. Your love's done. Walk away from it. God never says that love is one big giant goosebump. Okay? Here's what God says love is. In your handout, love is an act of selfless sacrifice. That's love. As long, guys, as long as we approach this thing of marriage with this attitude of what's in it for me, we're never going to know what it means to love her with a sacrificial love and then enjoy the benefits that come from it. You know, I thought this was kind of humorous. There was a guy that was browsing around in a bookstore, and he saw some reduced items, you know, a shelf where they always... Do you naturally go to the reduced item shelf? I do. And among the gifts there was a little figurine of a man and a woman, and their heads were lovingly tilted forward toward one another, and it said, "Happy 10th anniversary" on the inscription. And the guy said it looked like it was in perfect condition, but yet there was a tag on it that said "damaged." He examined it more closely, and he found the tag underneath that read, "Wife is coming unglued." Wife is coming unglued. There's a lot of marriages that are damaged because the wife is coming unglued. And that's because, guys, we get so self-absorbed that many times we kind of dump on our wives. And we do not love them with a selfless sacrifice. Listen, we need to show a sacrificial love for our wives. We need to ask Christ to do that through us. And then number two, if we're going to love our wife as Christ loved the church, that means number two, we love her with a purifying love. A purifying love. I want you to look at verse 26 and 27. The Bible says this, that He, Christ, might sanctify and cleanse it, the church, with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Did you see the purifying love of Christ in these verses? This is how much Christ loves His body, the church. Christ gave Himself on the cross so that He could justly cleanse us of all of our sin through faith in Him. And in the same way that He cleanses us and purifies us and makes us fit to stand in the presence of a holy God, in the same way we are to love our wives. Look at verse 28. It says, "So ought men to love their wives." Men, a purifying love means that what? What does that mean? It means you're the spiritual leader of your home. You say, how? By setting a godly example. Always being honest with your wife. Reading the Bible. Talking about the Bible as a family. Leading the way to church. Keeping ungodly influences away from your home. Our wives... Let me tell you this, our wives want a husband that they can look up to and respect and trust. That's what they're looking for. They want a husband they can look up to, that they can respect, and that they can trust. Right? You know, one of the things that meant more to me than any Father's Day gift was when I was preaching on marriage and on companionship and communication, my wife came up to me after church that afternoon, and she gave me a big hug and a kiss, and she said, "Honey, that was a great message." And she said, "I'm so glad that you and I don't have to sit there and feel like hypocrites while you're preaching that. I'm so glad that you live what you preach." You have no idea what that meant to me. That meant more to me than if she'd gone out and bought me a new car for Father's Day. Did you do that? No. All right. Maybe a shirt? Yeah, okay. I love that too. That meant more to me than anything else. It really did. You see, I'm not just saying you need to be the spiritual leader of the home. I'm saying we need to be the spiritual leader of our homes. We need to be husbands. Our husbands that our wives can look up to and respect. And when they see you carrying that Bible to church, they know it means something to you. When they see you, teaching that class or singing in the choir or ushering or whatever you do, they know that you mean it. Not that you're perfect, but that you sincerely love the Lord and that you want a godly home that's built on Christ Jesus. You know, there's no husbands that are perfect. Hey, ladies, can you say amen? Yeah, amen. We had it coming, didn't we, guys? There are no husbands that are perfect. Ladies, if you think you're going to find one and you think that other guy in church or that guy at work looks better than your husband, listen, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, but the water bill is higher. Remember I said that. The grass looks greener, but the water bill's higher. Now remember that. All right? I know it always looks better. But listen, there are no perfect husbands. But your wife does want a man that loves the Lord and that sincerely loves the Lord. Through Christ, you can be the spiritual leader and the godly influence God wants you to be. If you're saved, the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imparted unto you and now dwells in you. And as you yield to Christ in you, He begins to live His life through you, and your family sees Christ living in you. That's what it's all about. Number three, the third way that we are going to love our wife, if we love our wives as Christ loved the church, is number three, a caring love. Let's review. What was the first kind of love? Sacrificial. What was the second one? Purifying love. Okay? That they see that love for the Lord in us. Number three is what? A caring love. Let's look at verse 28. Let's read a few verses here. He's describing here how men ought to love their wives. And he says in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth who? Himself. That's kind of weird, but we're going to talk about that. Number 20, verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, those of us who are saved, we compose the body of Christ. Can I ask you a question? If we're the body of Christ, who is the head? That's right. Christ is the head of the church. Does Jesus care for His body, us, the church? Yes or no? Man, does He ever? He meets our needs. He provides grace in trials. He provides strength when we feel like we don't have any strength. He gives us strength. He gives us peace. He fills us with joy. He fills us with wisdom and discernment when we need it. Whatever we need, Christ provides it. We are complete in Christ. And the Bible says that we can cast all our cares upon Him, because He careth for us. We have a Savior who cares deeply for us. He's not removed. He's not like remotely up in heaven and removed from our affairs and up there sternly looking down and He's kind of aloof and distant. No, we have a Savior who has come to live inside of us and provide peace and joy and grace and strength and wisdom and discernment, and whatever we need, Christ is there to be that which we need. God's Word says we are to love our wives with that same kind of caring love. In fact, the exact words there in verse 29 was nourish and cherish our wives as our own bodies. Think about your body, guys. Think about how you take care of your body, and we can understand the analogy of how we're to take care of our wife. Hey, I know, guys, if your body cries out, I'm hungry, you know what you do? Buddy, you feed it. Right? Nobody will admit to it, but I know y'all do it. One person. Ralph, you admit, you got it, Ralph. Amen. If it's hungry, you feed it. If you're out working in the yard, or you're out working a job outside, or you're out playing sports on a summer day in June in Florida, and sweat's just dripping off of you, and you're thirsty, and your body says, I'm thirsty. You know what you do? You provide it some drink. That's exactly right. You see, if your body is hurting, and there's something wrong with it, and it's sick, you nurse it back to health. If your body is cold, you try to find a way to warm it. If your body is dirty and filthy and nasty and stinking, hopefully you clean it. We hope so. You clean it, right? The Bible says the way you nourish and cherish your body is how you ought to nourish and cherish your wife. That speaks of gentleness, tenderness, and affection. That means a spontaneous hug. That means holding hands. That means a call during the day to check on her. That means spending time talking when you get home instead of burying yourself in the paper or ESPN. That means helping her with the dishes. That means a spontaneous love note just to tell her what she means to you and to your family. You say, some of you guys may be thinking, well, that's just not me. I'm just not mushy. That's not me. And you know what? There's a real simple solution. Change. I'm not kidding either. I'm as serious as a heart attack. Change. Change. You say, I'm not an affectionate person. Change. Listen, who says you can't change? When you let Christ live through you, then you love her the Bible way. Christ can take a old gruff, mean fella, and the affection and love of Christ can shine through him if Christ lives in you. In your handout, it says there, success in marriage is more than finding the right person. It's becoming the right person. Whew. That's good right there. Success is more than finding the right person. It's becoming the right person. The prayer, hey, guys, the prayer is not, Jesus, change this woman. The prayer is, Jesus, change me. Change me. You know, I told you last week about the guy that sent his wife a $17,000 apology. Remember that? He ended up, she left him, he took out a full-page ad in the Florida Times Union newspaper to apologize to her, to seek her forgiveness. And he wanted to be tender, he sent her roses and all that kind of stuff. I'd say there's a guy who, and he still never heard from her, I'd say there's a guy that waited too long. He waited too long to become the tender, affectionate, caring husband that his wife needed him to be. The guy waited too long. When you show your wife affection, you know what we do, guys? We send the message to her, I'm going to take care of you. I am going to protect you. You are important to me. And I am concerned about you. And I love you very, very much. You see, we are one with Christ. Therefore, we know that He'll meet our needs. Husbands, the Bible says you're one with your wife. To not meet her needs is to commit spiritual suicide, because you're one flesh. You're one flesh. I want you to write that in there. To not meet her needs is to commit spiritual suicide, because you are one flesh. And then let me give you the last way that we love our wife as Christ loved the church, and that is a committed love. Look at verse 31. Would you please look with me at verse 31? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. We're going to talk more about that in the next couple weeks. But right now we're focusing on this thing of loving our wives. Folks, listen, according to the Bible, marriage is an unbreakable, indivisible union. Time has not changed the divine standard at all. You are to leave your parents and cleave to your spouse. Do you know what that word leave means? It means to abandon completely. That word cleave means to glue something together. Man, you can take something and staple it. Brother Larry, you can tear it apart. You can take something and paperclip it, and man, you can take it apart easily. You take something and you glue two pieces of paper together, you can't take it apart without damaging both pieces. That's the union that you've got with your wife. You are one of them. So what if I've already been divorced? You can't do anything about the past. You can't do anything. But listen, what the Bible is saying, though, is if you are currently married right now, you are to stay married to that person. Marriage is a total, permanent, unbreakable union. And it severs former ties, and it creates one new person, as illustrated by the permanent, unbreakable union of the body of Christ. Jesus said, nothing can separate us from His love. Aren't you glad for that? Christ has a totally committed love toward us. That's in your handout. Jesus said that nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing. In other words, Christ has a totally committed love toward you. Men, that's the kind of love you're to have for your wife. Being a husband and a dad, listen, being a husband and a father is not to be treated like a hobby. Being a husband and a dad is not to be treated like a hobby, something that we do on the side when it's cool and when we feel like it and when we have time. No, we're not to treat being a husband and a father like hunting and fishing. It is your main business. Outside, and it's in your handout, outside of your relationship with Jesus, your wife should know that she is number one in your life. Nothing supersedes your relationship with her. You have a total commitment to her. In your handout, we see what kind of love we're supposed to have. Can you review with me real quickly? And we're almost done. Number one, what kind of love, guys? Let's say it again. Number one is what? Sacrificial. Number two, purifying. Number three, caring. Number four, committed. And in your handout there in the box at the bottom, it says, husbands, love your wives. In fact, let's say it together, just the guys. You ready? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Can I warn you of something before we go? You cannot leave here, guys, and I cannot leave here. And we cannot say in our minds, yes sirree, buddy, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to do these things if it kills me. I'm going to treat her nice. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be caring. I'm going to be the leader of my home spiritually. I'm going to sacrifice for her. I'll do it if it kills me. Listen, that won't last. That will last till about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Okay? That won't work. I'm telling you from experience that I've read books on marriage, and they got all these nifty little tips on what to do. And it lasts maybe a few days, a week. It doesn't work over the long term. You just, it's not a list of rules and regulations and things I got to do and things I got to remember. No. That's not. That's why I've given you principles. Because here's the thing. Your attitude must be this. Okay? And it's in your handout. Your attitude must be, I can't love my wife this way. So, Jesus, I need you to love her through me. Every day, this is your prayer. When you're coming home from work, when you get up in the morning, before you go to bed at night, love her through me, Jesus. And you know what? If your attitude is, Lord Jesus, love her through me, if she's having a bad day, instead of you blowing up back at everyone, you know what? Everybody has bad days. Everybody has bad days. If she's having a bad day, and instead of you blowing back up at her and being sarcastic and rude with, if your prayer is, Jesus, love her through me, you're there to help her through that day instead of antagonizing her through that day. See, you're there to help her. And as Christ lives through you and you yield to Jesus, you find yourself loving her in ways that you never would have imagined. Ways that would be foreign to you, but it's Christ in you doing it. See, it's Christ in you loving her. That's what it's all about. I'm not up here trying to give you a list of rules, what to do. I'm just saying, look, this is what God's Word says. God says we're to love our wife as Christ loved the church. How did He love the church? He sacrificed. He purified us. He had a caring love. And He's got a committed love for us. And the Bible simply says, you love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And so I'm giving you the principles. But now, as the Holy Spirit works in you and as Christ lives through you, He'll show you the specifics and He'll do it very naturally through you. Because what may mean something special to your wife may not mean anything to my wife. What she enjoys may not be what another lady enjoys. So for me to try to get up here and give you a list of things, it wouldn't work. Everyone's different. Everyone's different. So as you yield to Christ, Christ loves her in that special way through you that she needs, that she's looking for and needs. What a difference it makes. Hey, it sure beats the fire out of hollering and screaming and yelling and fussing and carrying on. This is what it's all about. It begins with husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I am not putting myself up as an expert on this thing. I'm telling you, this is what the Bible says. And my daily prayer is, Lord, you love Denise through me. Because she needs a unique love. She's a unique person made in God's image. She needs a unique love. And only Christ really knows how she needs to be loved. So therefore, Christ has to do it through me. Because God knows what she needs. And God wants to meet those needs through me if I'll be yielded to Him. So that's what it's all about. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And next week we're going to get into the marriage part 3, okay? But right now.